Black Tower Podcast, a Wheel of Time podcast. I am one of your hosts, your Amen Khan, Michael, Daniel. Hi. I'm joined by my two illustrious co-hosts here.
I'm your Zorowan Michael.
I'm not illustrious.
Josh.
Oh, wait on him.
You are illustrious, sir. Sorry, welcome to the reality.
I did say illustrious, but you are also illustrious.
Words are fun.
I know.
Keep it up and I'll illustrate your butt.
Whoa! This is the kid show.
I've been waiting for that all night.
And I am Andrew, your Ajahn Mael.
And as stated, this is a very, very special episode of the Black Tower Podcast, because as you might have noticed on your screen, if you're watching it live, and on your screen, if you're not watching it live, you're just
because this will be recorded for posterity.
Yes. We are all in the same place. You're not seeing three squares with each having a head. We're all here in Ogden, Utah at a very special event called The Gathering Madness 2020.
Something you may have heard.
Something you might have heard if you...
Circulating around
the... It's universe. In the underground. If you're cool, you've actually heard about it.
If you, this is already past The Gathering Madness 2021 and you're now just seeing this for the first time, where you been for the last year, bro?
Bruh.
But
welcome. But welcome.
Yes,
but
no, welcome. Also very much welcome. Yeah. Good to see that the recruiting parties are going so far in the field. But before we get to any more of that, and before we tell you what we're talking about on today's very special episode of the Black Tower Podcast, hey buddy, you wanna slide on some protection?
I'm not your buddy, guy.
I'm not your guy, friend.
I'm not your friend, pal.
How all right. Long can we go?
Oh, ladies, we can go forever, but we're not going to.
Ladies and gentlemen, the following episode of the Black Tower Podcast contains spoilers for the entire series. If you have not read books 1, 2, 3, all the way through 14, including New Spring, you are danger slash risk, because English, of being spoiled. You have been warned.
You have. It happened. I like it. So, also, I just want to, before we go any further, just because that reminds me of something very special, we actually got a recording from a good friend of the show, Mr. Malkiri Rob.
That's true.
Malkiri Talks. That was a very special edition of a spoiler warning.
That's right.
That will definitely be featured, not in today's episode, but in an episode coming to you soon, because he's awesome, and he did it for us. I don't even think we technically...
We did not elicit that
at all. We have definitely talked about it before. I'm not saying that it came out of nowhere, but he did it for us. It wasn't like we were like, hey, Malkiri Rob, we need this. And he did it for... He just did it because he's good people.
Because he is good people.
So you will definitely hear it. And I am throwing this out there because he does not need to be alone in this. If you would like to get in contact with us and do your own spoiler warning for us, then, depending on whether you're a Patreon or not, we may or may not use it. Yeah. Just saying.
So let's actually feature it, because I can play. It's not going to be the best audio, and we'll actually take it and put it in an actual episode with proper audio.
If you guys would like to listen to it, though, and hear it. If you guys would like to hear it, everybody put a thumbs up in chat.
Can you do that on Zoom?
Or put a... Just type something in chat. Anything. Yay!
Wow. All right. That was,
took a
that
second.
Was
it took a second,
solid.
But one now there.
Okay. Lock it. All
right. Put it
cool.
Put up right to the mic.
Yeah. Well, it's gonna might be kind of loud.
Welcome to the Black Tower. This is your spoiler condom. If you have not read the complete works of Robert Jordan, The Wheel of Time, books 1-14. And also, New Spring, big bad book of white art, and a companion, you are at risk of being spoiled. Spoilers come with side effects. These side effects may include headache, nausea, vomiting, death, dizziness, vaginal or penile eruptions and ejaculations, dysentery, cardiac arrhythmia, mild heart explosions, varicose veins, darkened stool, darkened souls, more vomiting, arthritis, hemorrhoids or diabetes, virginity, mild discomfort, vampirism or werewolfism, gender inequality for the whole planet, spontaneous dental hydroplosion, sugar highs, even more vomiting, or maybe just a mild rash. If you cannot deal with these side effects, please leave now, for fear of spoilers. You have been warned.
So there you go, guys. As you can see, you did a fantastic job with it. And as stated,
virginity!
He got very, very creative with it. Again, we did not send him a plan. We did not ask him for anything specific. That was all Valkyrie Rob's own creativity and imagination that gave us that amazing
product. Do you know, I still think he can channel. He is so twisted.
He is super.
He's got to be tainted. So, to Valkyrie Rob.
Indeed.
And to your taint.
Tice Hart, Valkyrie Rob.
That is perfect right there.
All right. Intro's done. Spoiler's done. Well, intro's not totally done because now that we've finished with the spoiler con, we're actually going to tell you what the fuck we're talking about.
Oh, what the fuck we're talking about. That'd be important.
I know, right?
Introduce the topic.
So, basically,
quality content.
I know, right? We're gonna be talking about some blind spots, basically, in the Wheel of Time, because there are a lot of them, and this is definitely something that is like very real world. This mm-hmm. is something that, you know, clearly Robert Jordan pulled from actual life experience and talking to people of Jesus Christ. There are so many nations who are like, we have prophecies and special omens and yes. things like that that are completely different.
Yes.
Than other countries. And, you know, you guys have the Caratheon cycle, and we have the Kar-Karn, and they have the Koromor, and they have their own signs about what's going to lead to the last battle. And they have, you know, all of these different superstitions about when you should fish and when you should not and whatnot. And so we're going to be talking about some of the ones that are the most glaring to us, that are sort of the most interesting as far as things that wouldn't be known by major nations.
Well, like, you've got things like the reason the Seanchan even have their return is because the omens said it was time to return. What the hell are the omens?
Born of a prophecy that they would return to claim their land.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you got to remember, like, this, the Seanchan Empire is a descendant of the daughter. Was it the daughter or son? Because he's, when Alter Hawkwing sent out armies.
His son.
With his daughter son, and his
Luther
son.
Luther Pendrag.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Luther Pendrag went out. And so these are all descendants.
To conquer the rest of the world.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He was sent off by his father across the Earth Ocean. Mostly because his dad didn't really like. He's the Eric Trump of the Pendrag family.
He's Eric the Red. They were like, look, you're too violent. Go that way. I'm sure there's an island over there. And then Eric the Red discovers America's, you know, 1,000 years
and he's
before
like,
Columbus.
Dad, will you love me if I conquer across the ocean?
So
Dad!
The Seanchan,
Dad!
He was exceedingly successful.
No, he was. He was incredibly successful.
Alter Hawkwing's daughter, mission. Different story.
Correct.
Different story. She went to Sara. And was like,
yes.
Oh, well, we can handle this. And got her fucking cheeks clutched. Yes. And not in the good way.
Maybe in the good way, too.
Well, maybe.
Well, the thing is that his daughter didn't have the advantage of having Damani.
That is true.
That's true.
That is true.
Luther was able to bring the Tyr Angreal, the Silver Leashian Collar, and use that power to his advantage.
Yes, and he did. Very effectively.
When you think about groups that have had, if you think about it as the light versus shadow discussion, then his son has the really only truly successful arc in fighting the shadow, because they exterminate the shadow spawn.
I can see that.
Yeah. And set up their own empire. So they now have an empire that builds much like the world we have now. There's not some overarching greater evil out there in the ether that we should all unite and fight against. For the Seanchan.
Mm-hmm.
It's all of us together, because this is our entire country, in lands that still should rightfully belong to us because they were our father, our right. forefathers' land.
Yes.
So we're going to go and take it back whenever we see the signs that but it's right.
It was the omens that, and it's like,
I wonder how much of the omens came from like Damani that had the talent of like
foretelling. Or doomseers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder if it was like a mix of both, and it just gave birth to a culture of omens about everything. What if there was that. You know, with limited understanding of Chandler's and the talents and how it works, was it something that there was a prophet that says, you know, when the raven takes flight from the the palace?
The crystal throne.
The palace
of the crystal throne.
From the palace of the crystal throne with three wing beats to the east, it is time to return, or whatever it is. I mean, if that was a prophecy, then okay, they might have taken and been like, okay, there's something specific about the raven here. Ravens have all these omens, and it just builds this culture.
But the other thing is, too, though, is that when the Shan Chan returned to the mainland, I'm calling it the mainland because that's the central to the story, so... The raven,
the Westlands that aren't the furthest west,
is the raven is a spy for the Dark One, and there are bounties on ravens in the Borderlands. Mm-hmm. If you kill a raven,
they give you money.
They're like, "Well, thank you for taking out the Dark One's spies." And then the Shan Chan are like,
which is hilarious because they do say that like only maybe one in three ravens is a spy. And you end up going ahead and taking out three ravens. Two of them were innocent ravens.
Way to go, Borderlanders.
But at the same time, also, don't worry about it because you want to take out that one. Fuck it.
It's true.
Fuck that one raven.
Fuck that one raven.
The danger is so great it is worth the sacrifice.
Well, but so
thank you have other this... ravens for your sacrifice.
And I would also say that a difference in the informational flow or knowledge would also have to deal with the fact that the Shan Chan are also wildly successful and able to dominate their lands because they're not dealing with Shadowspawn on the daily.
True. You know what I think their secret is?
Hmm.
They learned... They're
always
in- run away! Run away!
No, they learned the ancient and lost art, at least lost in the Westlands and Ranland and the Wetlands, whatever you want to call it. They learned the ancient art of...
Learn from your fucking
communication.
They what?
Talk. They talk.
You can do that?
Yeah.
That's an option?
That's what they do. They're like, we just got our asses kicked. Let's talk about it. Versus... where it's, we just got our asses kicked. Tell no one.
And Carrie Ann and people are like,
this didn't happen.
We just got our asses kicked. Did we though?
This didn't happen.
I feel like
the Andorans came. They crossed the border. They instigated this. Now we have to have a big war.
We're gonna build
a wall, and Andor is gonna pay for it.
I mean, that is the entire epitome of the White Cloaks. Yeah, we may have lost, but it's only because there were 20 times as many Shadowspawn and Dark Friends as there really were. We estimate that there was at least 50 men.
No.
And at least there was 87 wolves.
And there 87
was,
wolves.
There was one guy.
12 brigades of bandits.
One man, five wolves.
One woman.
Or two men.
Three wolves.
Or sorry, all heavily armored. Very well trained.
9% of them were werewolves.
We took out 800 of them because we're White Cloaks and we're
the
awesome.
Only reason you're not going to find wolf bodies is because they take them away in the night.
The only reason we lost
so many of them
is because it was nighttime, and as we know, children of the light fight better under the sun.
And there's only one instance of a White Cloak sitting there being like,
wait, what?
You're full of shit. Like, no, there wasn't that many. He still overestimates, but he's like, no, there wasn't like 80 or something wolves.
There was probably
ten at most.
But there was like
and maybe one. Five guys.
Yeah.
Not the burger joint.
Yeah, there were three.
But the omens.
Stop.
The omens, you know, they have
this is why we don't do these episodes together.
That is the sole reason. It's not that we live in three different areas. It's because anytime you hold anything in front of Josh's face, he tries to look at it.
No story. We We're all independently wealthy. You know that, right? We could just come here.
I just said I drank with Bill Gates on the weekends.
Yeah.
I mean,
we just choose not to because Josh
licks things.
I lick things.
He does.
Anyway, okay. So.
But enough about Josh.
Hashtag I lick things. That's going to be good on the internet. So, it's like, their omens are so weird, right? An owl took flight. The peach trees is one of the most powerful omens. A spider lands on the deck of the ship. Like, they just have all these really crazy omens. And then the cool thing is that we don't understand a damn thing about the omens and what they are and how they are. Mm-hmm. But Min, as a doomsayer, sees these visions around people that line up perfectly with the omens that the Shan-Chan are seeing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a beautiful example of how they have a piece of it and we have a piece of it, and they fit together so well. And when we're working together, harmony.
And when we're not working together,
dual tarantulas.
All right, so
Shan-Chan, which only works because now it's visual.
Shan-Chan omens. You have the albatross, a symbol of victory.
What the
hell is Victi?
That's Baby Yoda victory.
All right.
We got Victi.
An owl hooting at dawn or hooting two times is a prediction of death. An owl hooting and not flying away when looked at is an omen indicating great care should be taken. The next few days will be ones of important decisions. I feel like somebody is trying to read my tarot cards.
I was literally just sitting there being like, oh, so it's Horus?
An owl hooting at night.
Two dead rats on their back, one with the tail in the other's mouth, is a chillingly terrible omen.
Yes.
One of the worst.
Also, how often does that fucking happen?
That's why it's apparently the worst. That's why it's the worst.
Enough to be defined.
Was it in Broken Arrow when he's like, I don't know what's scarier, the fact that it, the fact that it happened, or the fact that it happens so often you have a name for it?
Yes.
A burst of wind revealing the skull of a rodent is an omen of danger. This is so niche.
You know what this was? This was a Shan-Chan, like, shaman.
And it's the peach blossoms that are the most powerful.
That's right. And he's like, guys.
Do you remember that one episode of Avatar? What he's doing right now.
An omen.
We have one
peach blossoms.
Like, guys, like if you come across like two rats, and like they're both
and they're
on their
back, like this.
Whoa! And one of them has a tail in the other.
Bro, wow. Bro.
No,
Shan-Chan.
Do you remember the one where Matt's with the Shan-Chan? He takes off his hat and sets it on the table, and immediately the Shan-Chan are just.
Evil signs.
That's what they do.
Oh, yeah, just...
No, it's literally that.
Do you know where this came from in real life? Do you know why people do this? It was the
ward away the devil.
No, but it was the lead singer of Slayer, I want to say. His grandmother would do that to ward off the devil.
Devil.
So he'd be like, devil! And then everybody was like, you're a devil! Pretty cool.
We have that.
Pretty cool.
It's a thing. If you clear away a spider web before shooing the spider out, it results in the death of someone close to you within a month.
Seeing
a torn spider web with the spider still in it requires hand signals to ward off the evil.
Unless you're Jacob Carradine.
Blocking a line of ants in the middle and counting the seconds is the time it takes for ants to regroup. Or the time it takes for the ants to regroup after you block it tells how many days of fair weather before a storm.
That's like also, that's the ground
Punxsutawney goddamn Phil.
Punxsutawney Phil.
Just put your little hand in mine.
I do want to say that, like, again, it is we focus on the Shan-Chan a lot because theirs are the ones that we don't really get, you know, as much information about.
Right.
But it reminds me a lot of like ancient Rome when they had like the oracles and they had the you know seers and whatnot. And you have all these stories. Now, a number of them are fiction. Like, not a ton of these are, like, legitimately super historical accounts.
Right.
But, like, you have all of these situations where if even one of those oracles is corrupt and you start paying oracles to tell you what you want to hear, how many of these signs actually happened that the return was supposed to happen? And how many of them were made up by the soothsayers that were like, guys, it's time to go back?
The peach blossoms, though.
I mean, let's not forget that most of these oracles were continuously and almost all day subjected to hallucinogenic drugs.
Just minor
oracles. That's what I said. That's what I said.
Yeah. No, and so again, it's just these weird-ass fucking things. And yet, they come over on the other side of the ocean, and people are like, hey, have you heard of these plot armor people? And the Sean Chan are like, plot armor people? Never. Taren. What Taren. In the world are plot armor people? And they're like, well, there's three of them over there.
I love too, that like it's a
they're
fact.
The ones who blew the horn and ruined your entire day.
Taveren exists. Like, everybody knows this. And
not the Sean Chan.
Except the Sean Chan.
Everyone in Randland.
And they know this because there are certain people who manifest a talent of seeing a Taveren.
Yep.
Like, you can see and identify visually that person is a Taveren.
They glow on the ramparts of
Which is
China.
Why Loghain starts laughing his ass off, because one of his talents is seeing Taveren. And because Rand is so powerfully he's like standing there all with his swagger because he's got captured, and he kind of looks out of the corner of his eye and he sees a friggin' bonfire of a Taveren on the wall, and he goes, you got the wrong guy!
I'm going to lead the White Tower one day, motherfucker!
And then Matt's like, oh,
but he's
yeah,
such a bro because he doesn't say shit, he just laughs.
Oh, right, yeah, though? No.
That's a bro say.
Because he's not going to go ahead and tell the Aes Sedai. Come on. You got me in a cage. Why the fuck would I give you information?
Hashtag bro save.
Hashtag
Loghain's got the best bro save.
Hashtag keep your mouth shut.
Loose lips.
Snitches get stitches. Shit.
Loose lips sink ships.
Loose lips. People in houses sink ships. That is today's movie quote.
Dude, we ever have one of those?
I want you to keep your traps shut. You know what they say? People in glass houses sink ships.
Very nice.
And that's all you're going to get.
And if you didn't get it from that and you've seen this movie, I don't know if we can.
You need more.
Pull out a quote.
More
if you don't get it, if you don't get it, we got to get you a book or something.
We got to get you a book of Proverbs or something. So,
wow, a second hint immediately after the first.
Because I am a generous
so benevolent.
God. Because I am a generous God. But then there's like superstition. Well, Matt tells Tuon, oh yeah, I'm Taveren. And she's like, what the hell is that? So he explains Taveren, and she goes, you weirdos and your superstitions.
Oh my God, two ravens.
Oh my, yeah, right? Whoa, guys, ravens. And Matt's like, shit, I'll kill him, don't worry. And she's like, what are you doing?
No, and I absolutely love that, again, it's like not the first time that they meet. I think it's actually in the like second conversation or something where, again, he's trying to be like surreptitious because he doesn't want to give the whole game away. But he's like telling her a little bit about what Taveren are and like why people are special and like why Rand is important. Because he's stuck in the palace in Ebu Dar, and she is making herself a nuisance to him because
like purposely
she sees his ring and it has foxes on it, and she's like
chasing
the omens.
But again,
this guy's gonna get me dick.
This is an example of how these random ass weird omens, and she's like, oh, a fox chasing away the ravens. Oh, he's got a bit. And then one day she asks him, do you know what Arda Hawkwing's face looks like? And he's like,
no.
No.
Dude, and she's like,
literally just had that read to me.
He was lying. And so he knows the face of Arda Hawkwing. And it's like, she knows omens about a stranger literally on the other side of the world. And
but also,
the omens line up. The omens, like, but then
Taveren. I'm sorry, okay. The dragon reborn. We don't know what that is.
But of course, of course, the omens line up because Taveren.
Yeah, no, exactly.
It's going to work,
right?
And now,
and so everybody here in the Westlands is like, "Oh, you mean Taveren?" And they're like, "No, omens, bitch." And you're like, "Yeah, that's what we said."
What was so? And then you've got things like in the Borderlands, you're not allowed to wear your hood up.
Yes.
Anybody from the Southlands, they come there and they're like, these Borderlanders and their superstitions. And we find out, of course, that Murdral can slip in and out through shadows, and they keep their hoods up. So in the Borderlands, if you have your hood up, you're subject to execution because you could be a murderer.
No. If you have your hood up, you are a murderer.
You
judge, jury, and executioner is the arrow that gets shot at you.
That's the thing. Like, it's
Put your fucking hood down.
And if you're a regular person, just forgot to take your hood down, they'll be like, well, you shouldn't have had his hood up.
I mean, it's like somebody walking around in the grocery store without a mask. That's on you.
I don't think it's quite as intense as that. I can't shoot someone with an arrow in the store.
Not with that attitude. No.
That was going to be my exact response. God damn it, Andrew, get out of
here. I want to be like the dude in Salt Lake who, when the riots happened in Salt Lake, this guy jumped out of his car with a damn bow and arrow.
Yes.
Legit yes. Happened. Yes. Shut the fuck up, dude.
Shut the fuck up.
Go back to your, time to take your pills, Grandpa.
Shut the fuck up.
But then there's other traditions too, like the Aiel have, you know, what seem to be strange customs, like spilling water.
Yeah,
don't spill water, not even a drop.
See, and at least these have good reasons.
But that has a reason behind it.
Well, the thing has it. But let's go ahead and be clear here, because we don't know what the Sean Chan good reasons are. That's one of the things that makes it fascinating, because we get such a deep look into Rand learning the traditions of the Borderlands, because he's got a teacher in Lan. When he goes to the Waste, literally Avienda's entire job until she fucks him, and even after, is teaching him Aiel customs. Yeah. And so we get a big, and I mean, like, his
that's
just
the
trip through
of
the crystal columns.
Ayo.
Hey, well, this profession.
Well, and that's
you pull me out of a freezing river, we have to fuck.
But and we don't get that from, you know, anybody.
That
in
sounds
Shara.
Like that would be some kind of superstitious
it
thing. That
actually,
I
legitimately,
it does.
Like, I feel like that's something like, you know, like now we say, like, I wouldn't fuck you if you were the last man, woman, or whatever on Earth. I feel like the
but I
say,
would
like,
if you pulled me out
like,
of a frozen.
I would only fuck you if you fell into a frozen river and I had to jump in and swim and save you.
Which would make sense because that's like the furthest thing from there.
Like, that'll never fucking
that happen. Is hell freezing over.
Yeah,
exactly. Literally.
When water flows and is so cold as to be solid. But we do have a good mechanism.
When
for
I
oh, wait, hang on, hang on.
When
there's
I panic
a shield. Inflict. I need a shield. I need to beat my shield.
Oh.
When I panic and flee naked into the snowy wilderness.
When I panic, full stop.
I am Avienda. When I do not have my wits about me, that is when we will fuck.
But we do have a good sort of permission mechanism for giving the Aiel their strange proclivities, because they have the glass columns and their own Tirangreal. So who knows? I mean, we know from the accounts of several people that end up going through the glass columns and the rings and whatnot. But we don't know what everybody sees. We don't know what everybody gets. So they pick up little snippets and bits of... Well, and I think the first time through, Avienda talks about seeing everything. No.
All things.
Everything. All things. And then when you come out, there's no way your brain can retain all that. So you're just like, okay, holding on to scraps and bits and pieces.
All you
things
get it. All you're all you're
things
left with is a spark
that
works.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
And even some things that have not yet come to pass. Wait, what are you anxious about? No, things that were.
Things that are.
No, so, but it is definitely one of those things where in the book series, it's a hair unfair that we're hearing all of these sort of like weirdnesses, these oddities, these eccentricities of a culture that we don't necessarily get nearly as much of a deep dive, a deep look into why some of those things are true. Because like, why are there no men allowed in the women's apartments, but there are women allowed in the men's apartments in China? What is the good reason for that? We don't know. You can assume 100 different things,
I think,
and probably some of them are right, but we don't actually hear like a legitimately sort of like Murdrawl-esque reason
right.
for why that is. Same thing with like the Aiel. We hear, you know, don't waste water. That's absolutely a superstition if you do that. That's terrible. And that one makes sense since it's so fucking not plentiful. And when you go into a hold, there are these ceremonies that you have to perform in front of the hold mother and whatnot.
Roof mistress.
Sorry, roof mistress.
Hold Jesus mother. Fuck. Hold
That's,
mother.
Is that wow?
Are you asking Jesus me to hold
Christ,
your mother?
Christ, that might be wow. But yeah, okay. so you know, the roof
crossover
mistress.
Doesn't exist.
What so, I was getting out of my
sin. So you go in with the roof mistress, but like you're not, we don't necessarily know where all of those ceremonies come from. We don't necessarily know what the specifically good reason for that is. We just assume because we have so much more information about the Aiel. With the Seanchan, it's like, all right, cool. Here's all of their superstitions and no reasons behind them.
What I was have getting fun. At is you can follow a logic behind stuff like the customs around roof mistresses.
Right.
And stuff like that. You can follow a logical reason behind that. When you look at if an owl hoots and doesn't take flight, you need to be careful. How many, what is the exorbitant number of times that has to happen for the coincidence to now be a justifiable mechanism?
Yeah.
Now, if they were born out of something that was more like grounded,
well, very well
made. And they may be. I don't know if they're not.
Exactly.
But based off of all we have, you can follow the logic for the roof mistress because, like, okay. These are a very well and more capable people.
Yeah.
Respect is a massive, 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 massive thing. So you can logically follow why that's a thing. I can't think of a logical reason behind hearing an owl hoot, looking at it, and it just going, what, bitch? Better be careful. I'm going to fuck you up.
Like, well, I think this is but again, this is a little – I'm going to stretch a little bit here. I'm not – denying.
Oh, go ahead. There's more room over there.
But yeah. Like, let's imagine 1,000 years ago in the histories of the Seanchan, there was a band of bandits that they nearly destroyed, and their call to each other before a raid was an owl hoot. That's all fair. Of a sudden, now you have this like crazy superstition that has nothing to do with actual owls. Yet has now persisted for 1,000 years that anytime an actual owl hoots, people are like, what the fuck do we need to be careful?
Fair. It does involve owls because you have a group of bandits that are appropriating owl culture.
Sure.
So
owlkin.
So I wonder if
but again, it's things we just never get information on.
I wonder if this is something that Matt was touching on in our panel. Because remember at our panel he was talking about he wanted the Seanchan to have more layers, more depth. And I'm wondering if this is part of the reason, because I think part of the reason, and I will fully admit, part of the reason I don't like the Seanchan is because they show up, they kick everyone's dog, and then they go, what you gonna do about it? I'm in charge now. And it's like, everybody later on in the books, they want to be like, oh, they're so benevolent, though, because look, they let Beslan keep his kingdom. And I'm like, no. Independent rule under duress is not independent rule.
And well, so I was just like, wait, sorry, they let Beslan?
They let him keep his house.
That he already had rightfully before they showed up.
Exactly. So,
I mean, yeah, so benevolent. I have a very different opinion on that.
Really?
Point being,
not saying I like the Seanchan.
Sure.
But I only dislike the Seanchan for one very obvious reason. And that's the collaring of people. That's the slavery that the Seanchan practiced.
That is the only inexcusable
reason
like
that I don't like the Seanchan. Everything else about the Seanchan, I love.
Yeah.
Well, I love what they do when they come in. I love how they act. Everything else I love. I don't love the slavery and the stuff that has to do with the collaring of Martha DeMonte. What is this? A shitty Batman versus Superman movie?
Martha DeMonte!
But everything
Why did you say that
Collar
name?
Martha.
But I mean, I'm looking at it. When you look at the tradition that we have, the history that we have of conquering peoples, this is very... very much a Machiavellian thing.
Right.
That whenever you conquer a place, you must do all your evil at the start. All the bad stuff that people are going to hate, you have to do at the start. But there are things you should avoid.
Right.
Because children will forgive the death of their siblings. They will forgive the death of their fathers, their mothers, their cattle, but they will never forgive the theft of their inheritance.
Right.
So when you come in as a conquering people, you wage full-out war because there are no half measures in the Shanchan. When they come to war, it's total
go
war.
Go big or go home.
We will kill everything and destroy everything.
They did.
Because if
they
you
did
do,
the first one.
If you do so
and
much
the
evil
one at the same time,
if you do so much evil and so much damage and so much killing at the start, whenever you're done and you're setting up your stuff, you only look better and better because you're not doing that anymore.
Right.
You're imposing laws that tell the people,
well,
we are here to, we want to keep you alive.
Right.
We want to keep your system of government so long as they will swear fealty to us and the Empress.
So,
which is very, it's a very sound tactic. And that is one of the tactics that made people like Alexander the Great so successful.
Yeah.
So because he's a nomadic army.
That, again, in the lens of war is happening.
Yeah. I
agree with
you. Because for them, it's a justified war. This is their land they're retaking.
And again, as I said, if you are looking at it through the lens of war must happen.
Right.
The Shanchan do it right. All the way up until the coloring.
Up until the slavery.
That is absolutely the most unexcusable thing. Regardless of
the culture thing, not a war thing.
I'm going to expand it beyond coloring, though, because it's not just women who can channel that they enslave. They also have people who are property.
Okay. Yes. I will also
who
throw
are
out
not
there that
channelers.
That is not unique to them at all. Though,
it's
in
not.
The world.
It's not. But
and
it's
so
equally
I'm not
as
saying,
despicable.
I don't
I kind of
necessarily
lump that in with the slavery kind of thing.
Okay.
For me.
Because like that saying, in Aiel culture, is that inexcusable?
No, because
why?
They
See,
did
now you have a
justification. If the Shanchan come in and they say, kneel to us or not, and this person stands their ground and says, this is my country, you don't take my country from me. The Shanchan are then
so
like,
they are
okay,
justified
cool.
to go ahead and take
We're
them because they did something that was a crime
and
in Shanchan.
Break you and break you down so you have no ability. Who was it? The queen? The Panarch?
Amethera.
Amethera. Absolutely unjustifiable what they did to her. In any circumstance, I don't care who you are. If you have someone who's unruly, a rebel, blah, 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 imprison them, execute them, whatever you want to do. Do not break them and turn them into a naked dancing servant and just to break them down to the point where that the rest of their life they live in fear
what
of anybody even saying Shanchan.
So what he's saying, don't Grendel people.
At all.
Don't
well,
do
okay, I'm not going to belabor this point too much
because it's also not the point of what we said.
It is. It's not the subject. This is for another episode.
This is definitely a different, like, moral question. But that's actually what I want to kind of mention before we sort of stop this. Is that now you're getting into whose morals are right. Now you're getting into whose crimes are morally good,
sure,
and whose crimes are morally bad. Rather than a question of the actual difference in justification.
That's a good point.
Because it's the same justification on both sides. You just agree with the crimes of one and don't agree with the crimes of the other, which is not actually a justification. It's just a difference in morality and a difference in what are and aren't.
And this does. This is a big box to open.
This is a big box to open, which is why I said, we're going to set that box aside and talking about it at a different time. But yes, no, it's definitely a situation where Matt has a good point when he brings up the fact that we don't learn a lot about the Shanchan.
Yeah.
And if we actually understood their culture
a little
bit as much as we do Aiel culture, again, the box is aside, but I'm going to talk about it again for just a moment. We might actually see that box is not as morally reprehensible if we understood how they got there. Because we understand how Aiel got there.
Right.
We get that story.
True.
And so we just don't get as much justification for the Shanchan. And again, we might get justification in the show and still totally disagree with it. That's still possible. That's
there's
still
a difference between
a thing. It's just the fact that we don't ever get that.
There's a big difference.
Never get the chance.
There's a big difference between understanding the motives and what led to what things are, and being understanding of why things are the way they are, and accepting it as okay because of the justification. Things can still be morally completely atrocious, but you can be understanding of how they came about. doesn't mean that you support them. So let's say that the Shan Chan culture has a very good reason for the practice of taking damane.
They do.
Well, yeah.
But
sorry, so continue. We can understand that completely and be understanding of why they feel that way, why they practice this, and still find it just morally disgusting.
Mm-hmm. And again,
I think a lot of people do.
I want to go ahead and throw out there that I also consider the way that some Aiel treat their Gaishin and the way that any of them treated a Datsang is actually morally reprehensible. I am definitely of the opinion that is not an okay thing to do to another human being. So the fact that we are sort of more okay with it when the Aiel do it, because they only do it to the evil ones.
They don't. They don't only do it to the evil ones.
Yeah, they do.
They take, you know, they have, what, it's not, is it Gaishin?
Gaishin, yeah.
The Gaishin they take are just people that they have fought against. They're not necessarily evil.
No, that's why I said the Datsang. Those are the ones where they actually just break them to break them.
Yeah.
That was what Josh was talking about before about,
you know,
the Dako Vale.
Yeah, I was talking about the IL. Like, they don't just, it doesn't only
happen. We are talking about the IL. Datsang only happen when you're a criminal. You are only Datsang if you are lower than dirt, if you will.
Okay.
You don't get made Gaishin because you're a criminal. You get made Datsang because you are a horrifying individual. And then they just break you to break you. And it's like, okay, that's not really okay. Just because, you know, I'm like, oh yeah, no, this person diddled kids and so now they're Datsang. I agree with the fact that that's a horrible, horrendous crime. Doesn't mean that I want them to necessarily be treated like dog shit for the rest of their life. Either execute them and get it over with, or have them be able to, you know, come out of it on the other side fixed, or whatever the case may be. But anyway, again, all of this is to say that a lot of the reasons that I personally feel like we don't agree with the Shan Chan is because we don't get it.
I think that even if we understood the reasons, we would still disagree with them.
In some cases.
Be more understanding. I think that would definitively happen if we understood more of their history and why things happen. But, what's up?
Hello!
This is more shoddy.
Oh, this is hot more shoddy.
Just so you know, I'm naked under here. So
yeah.
I'm streaking through the house. Oh.
I'm naked underneath all these clothes.
Welcome!
Yeah, so come on around. You can come around and say hi to everybody.
Nice to meet you.
Nice
to meet you.
We have friends.
We have friends. We have one anyway. He loaded up.
I found a friend.
he brought us some malty happy beverages.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of malty happy beverages. We're going to have many malty happy beverages.
I'm planning on tainting you guys very well.
Yes!
This is going to be great.
I've always wanted to be tainted.
This is
going to
be great because the next thing we're going to do is pull out the power tools.
Oh, yeah.
That's accurate. This is a thing that's actually happening. So
cool. You can come join us.
I like Andrew's reaction.
Listen to the rest of our live podcast. Or not live. I guess. It is live.
It's live.
It's live.
Our special edition of our sober.
This episode of the Black Tower Podcast is filmed in front of a live studio virtual audience.
In a live studio audience. I love it. Yeah. All right. So,
but yeah, anyway.
How close are we to maybe calling this a good thing?
Don't rely on the time of my computer. It's still set for East Coast.
We're there.
Because we do still have to build something we can throw axes at.
Correct. Like,
we do have to build it.
Yes,
still.
We're aware.
Build it.
If we build it,
we.
They will come.
Daniel and I just built a whole tavern out
You know
there.
What? Shut the fuck up, okay?
Yeah, but you forgot the floor.
Are we allowed to? Are we allowed?
Did we forget a floor?
No.
A floor? We are practicing.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure.
We are practicing a partial aisle custom.
Ah.
That's right.
By not disturbing the land and having a natural
floor. And we're going to be sitting on the ground.
Environmental conscious.
Well, and once we're done with it, then we can take it and leave, and no one will even know.
It's going to be a sweat tent at first, and then after probably about 9 p.m. when everybody's sufficiently tainty, it might become an igloo. Who knows? Who knows?
I already know.
So this is going to be great. So thank you guys for tuning in and joining us here.
Tree gets it.
Tree hug, yeah. What's up? How you doing?
But yes, so this is effectively it.
This is effectively it for the morning sober cast.
Yes. So we're going to go ahead and do all of our plugs much more here real quick, because when we go later on to do our live drunk podcast, we're probably going to forget where everything's located. We'll be like, blackhour.netscape.
So blacktowerpod.com has everything there. It has our Patreon.
Literally everything.
Has our Discord. I think it's got our Discord. It's got the Facebook. It's got the merch store.
Does it have a link to the Crystal Barista's Facebook? Because it should.
It does not, but it will.
It should.
Now that you say that.
And yeah, we you can literally listen to episodes
I made a mistake of some kind.
It has everything that you've ever
you forgot something. The only problem is I can't remember what I've forgotten.
Do you
just like to blink?
So, by the way, FYI, there is actually something that he's forgotten in that scene that is very obvious that hardly anybody picks up on, and I didn't. I had to get told. I'm not like
it's not that there, obvious like, then.
No, it is.
If you have to be told, it's not obvious.
He's missing his rope. He forgot his robe in his dorms. Literally everyone around him is wearing them, but he forgot his robe.
Oh, yeah.
And you're just sitting there being like, how did I not fucking see this?
Nerd.
Nerd alert.
Thank you so much for tuning in. This is going to be awesome. We're going to go upstairs. We're going to go outside. We're going to drink beers with hot moshati and build something that we can throw axes at.
Yes. So stay tuned. We will definitely have more going through the day. Obviously,
oh, we got to finish. We got to finish the plugs.
That was the plug.
That was the plug.
That was our plug. There are other things to plug.
Okay, what are we plugging?
Because we are a featured podcast on this illustrious site called thegrapelight.com.
Is there a link to the Grape Light on the blacktowerpod.com? Because there should be.
We have two links to make. So, an Aes Sedai had an episode of foretelling that there would be two new additions to the website. And I think we just figured out what they are.
Sweet.
So we're going to get those up. Not today, probably.
Definitely. Probably not.
Definitely.
But not at some point within the next.
You don't want to see what the website's going to look at after today.
By the time this video is edited and posted, we very well may have links.
Possibly.
Yeah. And if not, wait one more week.
So
after that.
Grapelight.com. It's a fantastic project headed by Nablus. He has a fantastic team working with him that are writing articles, and they're doing it in a way to right now, if you go on Google and you search Rand Wheel of Time, you're going to get like a watt.fandom.wiki article or an encyclopedia-watt article that's just going to tell you, here's Rand, which they're good. Don't get me wrong.
They're well put together.
But they are not friendly to people that haven't finished the series. What Nablus and team are doing with The Great Blight is they're creating a wiki database that is friendly to those people that are only on like book 5. You haven't read the fantastic part and the best part of the entire series in Fires of Heaven, where Snow is involved. You just haven't yet. So you can read and see, okay, this is the spoilers on this character or what happens for this character all the way through book 4.
Yeah.
I'm not done with book 5, so I'm not going to read book 5. But it'll be listed. There'll be notification. You'll see there very clearly where you should stop. Mm-hmm. So it's fantastic. You can also go on there and you can find all kinds of other Wheel of Time podcasters, YouTubers, music creators, artists, the trivia and games.
It's like two entities that do every major platform and a bunch of podcasters.
Yeah. So there's a bunch of stuff out there. It's still in the beta phase,
yes,
as Nablus is calling it. There's a button you can click that if you see something that you think is wrong or could use some work or you just have feedback, you can click that and provide that. Mm-hmm. And if you want to assist with the project, I think you can even apply to be a contributor on the website, which of course Nablus and or team they'll look at and evaluate that kind of stuff. But they're doing great stuff there. It's also where his shop is, and to help support thegrapelight.com, you can shop at that shop, get yourself some wonderful Wheel of Time inspired, copyright free from the estate of Robert Jordan and Bandersnatch, right? It is Bandersnatch, right?
I think so.
Yeah. But it is free from all of that. These are not proprietary things of that section belong to Nablus and the Great Black.
Yeah.
So you can support them there.
You'll probably much have like to get all of your copyrighted material from Amazon
when they finally decide to do it.
In 6 months when they actually release all of it.
Yeah. So there's that.
But hey,
one or do the crystal barista, let's wait. We want to do Crystal Barista, but I want to wait for the person that's intimately involved with Crystal Barista to get back to do it.
You would.
Take that whatever way you want.
You would.
It's probably a conversation that they've had.
Oh, wait. Does that mean, am I supposed to?
What?
You said intimately. Oh, wait. We're not supposed to talk about it.
Jesus Christ.
Sorry, guys. We've been here for a whole...
You spilled the tea.
36 hours? Not quite.
I don't know.
No, we got here late.
Been here for a while.
We got here
much taint has been had.
But yeah, we've been here for a number of hours, and we've had a really good time with them.
Yeah. So,
not that good of a time.
Had
a really good time.
There's those. There's our Patreon that you can find. I think I've already mentioned with the website. You can go on there. That helps support us. It makes things like this more feasible, easier to do. And if we eventually hit the point that we can, where there's like, hey, there's an event going on that's Wheel of Time or fantasy themed. The Madman's piece fits in a box.
Yes, it does.
And
it's a big box, but it's a box nonetheless.
We do have the
desire. It's not a rammed size box, but it's a box.
Yeah. What's in the box?
Put Madman's piece in the box.
Yeah. But there is a desire amongst us to get to the point where we can take and pack up Madman's piece, go to an event, a convention, or something like that, with, you know, obviously permission and everything done that side, and set up Madman's piece. And have it as like a really cool place where you can come in and out, and you know, whatever happens in there happens, I guess. Like,
yeah, basically.
As far as drinks, you know, depends on the requirements of the state and the event. Yeah. But it is something we want to do.
Because Morshadi had to show his ticket when he got here, because this is a private event.
Yeah.
You're allowed to come down, and we'll print you a ticket.
Yeah.
This is a private event.
That's what I did.
Yeah,
it is.
Luckily, everyone did. Everyone does.
Yeah, everyone does.
But yeah, cool. We have one more plug, and the man is back.
Kind of.
Not. Yeah, he is.
No, he's not.
Yeah, he is.
No, he's not.
Get your ass over here.
Morshadi, go do it for me.
He can't. There's a reason that we chose you.
Oh, my God.
Just come here for eight.
See, this is the ticket.
Yep.
There you go.
Indeed. Cool. So let's plug Crystal Barista real quick.
Plug your
wife.
She's
our beautiful, wonderful, amazing.
CrystalBarista.com. As if you were going to the coffee shop and getting coffee from your local barista, now you can get crystals from your local crystal barista.
Indeed.
CrystalBarista.com.
But you don't have to be local to get crystals.
You do not have to be local. She does ship worldwide. She has subscription boxes
for
crystal and jewelry making and whatnot. And she has an online shop that you can buy things from. It's wonderful.
It is.
Kind of the best.
It's good stuff. So definitely go check that out. Enjoy yourselves. Definitely buy lots of rocks.
I will say this too.
Buy lots of crystals. Jewelry making equipment.
If you just have questions about rocks, you can't ask her. She's been in the geology world since she was 9. So like she knows her stuff when it comes to rocks and minerals.
That's actually real impressive.
That's
something she's been doing her entire life.
Meeting to dust to dust.
Right?
Just by the way, guys.
Born in the dust.
Sometimes Josh just gives us information at the same time as he gives you information. It's great. It's fantastic.
Called dropping truth bombs.
We learn with you. Everybody's learning today.
But I think that's plugs.
That's plugs.
Again, follow some of the stuff. Listen to the stuff. Enjoy the stuff.
Be lots tainty. Of stuff. Be taint. Much taint.
I think that covers everything.
It does.
There it is.
Cool. So now we are going to go build some stuff for events. We will keep you posted. This call will be open the whole time.
Sharp.
I was
going to
address that
things.
After we finished the podcast, so I didn't have to edit that out, but okay.
You can still do it.
So
you
don't have to edit it. So hard to edit out.
No, you don't have to edit it. Just leave it.
It's impossible.
Just leave it.
Edit one out.
Thank you. That's our show.
Well, I'll explain.
Hold on. I'm so confused, but I absolutely love this. This is amazing.
Hold on. Don't end it yet.
I'm not.
Yes, you are.
For those of us here at the Black Tower Podcast, I've been Andrew.
Oh, I have been Josh.
And I have been so confused. And also Daniel. So we'll go ahead and see you guys later.
And in case we don't see you again.
Good afternoon. Good evening.
And good night.
There we go.